The great escape artist Harry Houdini, who many believed had mystical powers and the power to appear and disappear, died on Halloween back in 1926. Many people at the time believed that the dead could communicate with the living. That included the creator of Sherlock Holmes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and Houdini's wife, Bess. So for 10 years on the anniversary of his death, Bess Houdini tried to contact her husband's spirit through a medium.
We are watching and waiting, Harry. Levitate the table. Ring the bell. Do it, Harry. Please, Houdini, we are waiting. Bessie is waiting.
Houdini was actually a vocal skeptic of seances, who may have proved that point by not being reached from beyond the grave. Still, Houdini's seances continue to this day. Little has been heard over the years from Houdini's family. On this 85th anniversary of his death, reporter Daniel Crocker sat down with a Houdini relative who unlocked some family secrets.
First thing you need to know is that the Houdinis had no children, so pay close attention to this family tree. George Hardeen is the great-nephew of Harry Houdini. His grandfather was Theo Hardeen, also an escape artist and Houdini's brother. A pretty close connection, right? But here's the rub. George Hardeen, growing up in Danbury, Connecticut, didn't even know he was related to Houdini.
Until I was probably 11, 12.
Even though his father was his namesake.
Harry Houdini Hardeen.
Harry Hardeen rarely used his middle name and barely spoke of the family's connection to Houdini when his children were young.
Put it in perspective. He grew up in that world. And the world was focused on Houdini and my grandfather. He said he didn't want me running out into the street and telling every kid because, of course, nobody would believe me.
Now 59, George Hardeen looks more like Houdini than his grandfather ever did, handsome with bright blue eyes. Similar to writer Edna Ferber's description of Houdini's eyes as very much inclined to twinkle. But like his father, George Hardeen did not go into the family business. In fact, the stories he heard about his famous grandfather mostly came from his mother.
Seeing my grandfather practice, rolling coins on his fingers to keep nimble so that they're able to manipulate locks and get out of straitjackets. And of course, you know, they're hiding things in their hands all the time. Cards, picks. It was the art of illusion. They were not magicians, they were illusionists.
The illusions included their own personas. Houdini was really Eric Weiss. He borrowed the name from a French magician. Hardeen, his younger brother, was Theodore Weiss. Their father left Budapest in the late 1870s. He settled in Appleton, Wisconsin, where he became the town's rabbi. His wife and young children followed him.
My great-grandfather was hoping for a better life for him and his family. The family always suffered financially. From an early age, the stories of Houdini, he would go out and do tricks and bring money home and give it to his mother and help the family out.
Ladies and gentlemen, I take great pleasure in introducing my latest invention, the water tortoise shell.
That's Houdini describing his most famous escape from a glass tank filled with water while he's shackled upside down inside. This 1914 recording is part of illusionist David Copperfield's collection.
Should anything go wrong when I'm locked up, one of my assistants walks through the curtain, ready to rush in, demolishing the glass in order to save my life.
Houdini's wife Bess was his stage partner, but before they married, Houdini performed with his brother Hardeen. And Hardeen recently showed up as a character in his own right in the HBO series Boardwalk Empire, set in Prohibition-era Atlantic City.
I saw your brother do that straitjacket gag once.
Eric Houdini, as you know him, used to do that escape behind the ghost box where no one could see him. Playing it out in the open was my idea.
Oh, yes.
Well, whoever's idea it was, it's clear what the brothers were doing seemed to everyone like the impossible. Again, George Hardeen.
One of the things that my dad told me when I'd say, how did they do this? He would simply explain it was practice and knowledge. It was a work ethic. They worked at simply being the best.
Harry Houdini was 52 when he died, apparently from a ruptured appendix. And after his wife Bess stopped the seances, 10 years was long enough to wait for any man, she said, Houdini enthusiasts resumed them. Theo Hardin died in 1945. His grandson George, after declining several seance invitations, finally decided to see what they were all about. It was Halloween night in 2001, the 75th anniversary of his great uncle's death.
They had a big round table, some articles that belonged to Houdini, and they would beseech him to just show a sign. And after about a half an hour, they'd throw in the towel, and then it was over. And then we went to this really nice bar and drank scotch and just visited. And I'll tell you what, they know everything about Houdini, and I felt very ignorant in their presence, but that didn't matter to them because I'm the guy that's got the DNA.
And then the guy with the DNA went home. Home is on the Navajo Nation in Tuba City, Arizona.
And that is my oldest horse. Boy, he is looking old, poor guy.
George Hardin came to Arizona in the early 80s to pursue a career in journalism. He fell in love with the landscape, the people, and he never left.
But now, you know, the Houdini legacy has taken a new branch because my wife is Navajo and my children are enrolled members of the Navajo Nation. And eventually they will have children. And so who knows where this Houdini DNA will actually end up.
And tonight, like every Halloween, the official Houdini seance will take place. This year at a historic mansion in Holyoke, Massachusetts, but without Houdini DNA at the table. For NPR News, I'm Daniel Crocker.
And you can look at some Houdini and Hardin family photos at npr.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.